Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Been a very interesting time here around the Bay Area. Warriors news never stops. We've got a little Sharks news to actually talk about and the right guest to do it with. And I'm sad to say that we're not going to be able to do it with Mark Purdy for that much longer after five decades of deadlines in a column that says goodbye without wanting to turn into the cranky old guy in the press conference. Mark Purdy is calling it a career. His last sports column for the Mercury News is going to appear on August 6th. And I mean it. When it comes to covering sports from the prism of what's going on down at San Jose with a little aplomb, a little panache, a lot of experience, and a great sense of humor, I am already going to miss Mark Purdy before he's gone. Mark Purdy joining us here now. I'm going to miss that great Twitter handle, at Merc Purdy. It doesn't get any better than that, Mark.
Don't be sad. I'm going to be just fine. I appreciate the nice words. I'm getting a lot of nice feedback from announcing that I'm leaving. I don't know if that's how to take that, but it's time. It's just time. I think anybody in our business this long probably understands what I'm talking about. I just don't want to be that grumpy old guy in a press box, right? Where you're just like, you know, when you cross the line, you know, when you cross the line from, wow, the game went 14 innings to, oh, the game went 14 innings, right?
Right.
That's when you know.
Don't you think it's a little odd that you now run into the grumpy, just got into the industry, 27-year-olds now in the press box? Like, I never really understood that.
Well, I guess I don't either. I mean, when I was 27 years old and I would see those older guys in the press box being grousing around and grumpy, I'd go like, what are they talking about? It's a beautiful day here. We're paid to be at this game. But on the other hand, I sort of do understand because it's a lot tougher for those younger people today than it was for me when I was that age. I mean, with Twitter, with you got a Facebook, you got to post 24/7 pretty much content, and you almost have no time to catch your breath and really figure out what am I seeing here and what's different. You know, it'd be like, I don't know. I mean, your wing of the business is a little different than mine, but at least you have a few hours, right, to stretch out and kind of bring perspective to people, which you do, and that's good. But in our business, it's kind of like if you can't post something in the next 5 minutes about something that happened in the last 5 minutes, then you're probably not that interested.
Well, there's a lot of guys, I think, who just got into newspaper writing when it was a daily thing. It wasn't a 24-hour news cycle. And the demands of a writer to participate at all times in a 24-hour news cycle is, I don't want to say unfair, but it is it's an expectation that is unrealistic.
It's a challenge. But you know what? No whining. You know, I mean, like, we knew this was not going to be, we knew what we were getting into, sort of. And then as the changes have happened over the years, if you didn't like it, you should bail out. And I'm not bailing out. I'm 65 years old, and I it's time to leave it to the younger guys. And we have a lot of younger guys on our staff that do a great job at this. So I'm not going to whine, but I do think that a lot of people on the outside have a misconception about how our business works, and I get that because they're not doing it, and they want to watch sports and enjoy it and have fun. One of my concerns, let's leave me out of this, but one of my concerns is that you know, sports today is kind of getting its soul crushed out by some of this this obsession with, you know, what does this mean and how does this end? And when you go to a game, there's fantasy games, and then you can go here. You go to Levi Stadium. There's a museum. There's a restaurant. There's these clubs. It's like I fear that sports, and I get why, and I understand why, because it's just professional sports. But sports is becoming like a marketing opportunity wrapped around the little game rather than the game with some marketing, or, you know, like little sizzle here and there around it. And I don't know that that's good. I think that when the money gets when it comes that way, it's easier to, for people to take it too seriously. And we started playing sports for fun, man. You know, let's never lose sight of that.
I wouldn't be surprised if in the future they build stadiums with swivel chairs so you can turn your back to the game whenever you want to check your phone these days.
Well, I think I will live long enough to see probably. You're talking about the stadium. What about at home? I think you'll live. I'll live long enough to see. Probably people will be able to bet. I was actually bet on like not just games, but plays. Right? What the next play is
right.
going to be? Like you'll be able to push a button and you know I'll wager this much that the next play is going to be a pass or next plays are going to be run or whatever. I think it's moving in that direction. I was on. Don't be impressed by this, but I was on a panel at Stanford with some. There was the law school put on this panel, and one of the guys was an expert in sports gambling, a doctorate in something or other from, I think, Arizona State. And he was talking about some of this, and I could see it going that way because, I know this former executive who's worked for one of the Bay Area franchises. I don't want to name his name, but, you know, he kind of got out because he said, like, I kind of – thought my job kind of turned into just going out and trying to find as much money as possible from as many people as possible to put in the hands of 20-year-old people, right? Or 23-year-old people. And he just couldn't get his brain around that as that's what he wanted to spend the rest of his life doing. But, you know, I guess I want to blame anything for this. It's Jerry Jones, right? Because he was the first guy that understood, we can have people pay to come stand on the field before the game and watch players warm up. People will pay to do that, which when I was a kid and probably you were a kid, you never would have thought of that.
No
right?
way. I mean, no, no
but,
way.
But Jerry Jones figured out people would pay for that. They would pay for, the companies would pay to have the official adhesive tape or whatever. I mean, he's kind of the guy that spurred on this whole business so that when you go to a game, there's the Yahoo Sports Fantasy Lounge where you can go and you don't have to be at, you know, the game's going on out there, but let's go in the lounge and see how the ticker's going with our fantasy player. But I don't want to do this, Damon. I don't want to get over into that demilitarized.
I tell you what.
I just don't want to go there, which is why it's time for me to leave.
Mark Purdy here on 95.7 The Game. Who will carry the city of San Jose's torch in your absence?
There are plenty of fine people here in the Bay Area's largest city, and I'm sure many of them are your listeners, and maybe they'll submit applications to you. I don't know. I kind of fell into that, not by accident, but almost by necessity, because when I moved here in 1984, Damon, you know, there were no Sharks, obviously, and there was no arena. And at that point, I think San Jose had passed San Francisco to the largest population. So why should people here, if this is, are we going to decide to be a city or the big suburb? Because, you know, why should we have to drive up 45, 50 miles to see events in Oakland and San Francisco? The city's big enough to have some stuff on its own. So I campaigned very obnoxiously and over the top to build that arena. At the time, there was no team wanted to come here, but I figured that San Jose had to decide what it wanted to be when it grew up. And I figured if they got an arena here, some team would come here because of the demographics. And that's what happened. I didn't know it would be hockey, but I liked hockey. I grew up in the Midwest, loved hockey. So that was pretty cool. And I remember the Warriors came down here and played a season. And then the stuff with the 49ers happened basically because there were reasons San Francisco blew it. That's another show at another time you can do. But, but that happened if under Mayor Gavin Newsom. If Willie Brown had been the mayor, I don't think that would have happened. But, the 49ers looked down here. And first of all, Santa Clara answered the phone on the first ring.
Yep.
And then when they came around and they went to Great America Theme Park and went up in the tower with the commissioner of the NFL and said, gee, that's Google, you know, you can see Google from here. You can see Yahoo from here. You can see Apple from here. And that just, you know, was organic because all these Silicon Valley companies were here. And so that made the 49ers and the NFL very interested. And so I thought that was a good idea. And I think in the Bay Area, we don't appreciate the other cities enough. If you live in San Francisco, you don't appreciate Oakland and San Jose enough. If you live in San Jose, you probably don't appreciate Oakland and San Francisco enough. You know, I don't know why.
I'd agree with that. I would absolutely agree with that.
I don't know why we need to be balkanized. I mean, it's I like going to Oakland. I like going to San Francisco. I like visiting the smaller, charming cities to the north of San Jose. You know, there's cool stuff everywhere around the Bay Area, and I don't know why we need to have this argument about, you know, which place is better. There are good parts of each place, and probably, you know, and some bad parts of each place. But
greatest
we live here, man.
Greatest athlete in the history of San Jose, is it Patrick Marleau or Joey Chestnut?
Well. Joey's my man. You talking about a native of San Jose or somebody who, like, kind of trained here? And
it was kind of rhetorical. I really don't care.
Oh, okay. Bruce Jenner trained here when he went to the decathlon.
Yeah, absolutely, so absolutely.
Maybe that's the person. I don't know.
Of all all the athletes you've covered, who would you say is the singular best at what he did or she did of all the athletes? This is not a personality question. We'll ask you the who would you rather be stuck at dinner with or stuck in an elevator with question next. But who is the pinnacle of, God, that guy or gal was the best?
Yeah. You're talking about, and not necessarily Bay Area, right?
Anyone that you covered.
Okay. Well, remember, I'm old enough to have covered Ali. So
okay.
That's pretty there, but in the Bay Area, I think Joe Montana. I mean, I covering those games, you know, in the 80s and every week you'd go to that stadium and I'd sit in the press box and the 49ers would break out of the huddle the first play, and it was like Joe would walk to the line and like pull the trigger and bang, here we go. It was that was pretty amazing to watch week after week. We all think about his big moments, but you know, week by week, that guy did things. I think probably him. I'm a big Jack Nicklaus guy in golf. I think he's underrated, certainly among younger people today, because they sat through Tiger, who was very good. But Jack Nicklaus.
Based on all the personalities that you've covered, if you had to get stuck in an elevator for 5 hours with someone, who would it be?
Al McGuire. Remember the
coach at
Marquette?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, younger people won't realize him, but you can educate them. I mean, this guy was an amazing guy, and my first years in this business were spent covering college sports in the Midwest, and he was the coach at Marquette, so he and I kind of developed a little relationship, and then when I moved out to L.A. to cover UCLA basketball in the late 70s, he was on NBC at that time, and so whenever he'd come to L.A., we'd have lunch, and I'd give him a lift in my Ford Pinto, and he younger people go look him up. I mean, he had a great perspective on sports and had great stories. He was from New York, but somehow found a home in the Midwest. And my favorite quote he had was something I subscribe to, is that the only two things really important to win are surgery and war. After that, you know, it's all
and perspective.
It is. And the rest he'd had fun with. So I never had a dull moment with that guy.
With everything that you covered from championships of all kinds, I always thought it was cool how in love you were with the Olympic movement. I was reading your Olympic columns, I think, before I even moved, because they weren't sending, you know, guys all around to go cover the Olympics. And I remember reading Olympic stuff from you a long time before I even moved here. Mark, what was your favorite Olympic to cover?
Yeah, you know, I need to thank, you know, the Mercury News and the people that decided they had the budget to go send me to these places. Yeah, I covered 14 Olympic Games. The first one I covered was for the Cincinnati Choir, but that was the 1980 games at Lake Placid. So I covered the Miracle on Ice game, which, you know, I don't know, for I was like 27 years old, and to cover that and
all downhill from there.
I mean, it's like, who wouldn't want to cover the Olympics after seeing that, right? And so, yeah, I kept lining up for that assignment. It's 20 straight days of 12-hour days, but who cares? Moments that that I just found riveting, and not even the ones you might even think. in Athens in 2004, there was this Greek weightlifter, Pyros Dimas, who was a national hero, and he'd won gold medals, but he was hanging on. He had a bad knee, a bad shoulder, and he comes into the weightlifting arena, and he's just trying to win a medal of some sort. And the fans of Greece, you know, they don't have that many sports heroes, are like on their feet, Pyros, 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 and he makes the lift that wins the bronze medal, and he, like, turns his head this way and turns his head that way and yells, in Greek, he yells, "This is for Greece!" And then he throws the bar down and takes off his shoes, leaves them on the mat, walks off very dramatically. The place is going crazy. And I'm going, like, you know what? NBC's not even going to show this. And that's just
right.
Awful.
Maybe one of the greatest moments that you can have in the Olympics.
Yeah. And you know, now there are moments NBC did show, of course, that were great. But just moments like that where you find yourself in a building and, wow, the world, you know, I'm really lucky to be here. Usain Bolt running in a stadium. I mean, see that with your naked eye. I mean, or your non-naked eye. And I remember in London, Usain's 100-meter dash, standing there in the press area, and I turn and look to my right, and here's all of a sudden pops in LeBron James. You know, he wanted to come in and see that, and he's got, like, most of the basketball team with him. And the ushers are going, like, "I'm sorry, you don't have seats. You can't be here." I look at the guy like, "Do you know who these guys are?" So LeBron very politely goes, "Okay, well, then where can we stand? We just want to stand for this race, you know?" And so now the riders are going, like, "Well, here, just come stand behind us. They can stand behind us. It's okay." And so I got to watch one of the, I got to watch Usain Bolt win his gold medal in London with LeBron James.
That's pretty cool. It's a lot of star power in the room.
That's something you don't forget.
Well, I tell you what, Mark, whenever I walked into a room that you were in, you went out of your way to welcome me into the Bay Area media. You always went out of your way to be incredibly nice and generous with your time, either in press box conversation or in a little advice or coming on the show. I am going to miss seeing you and running into you because you're a great guy. And I think that is one thing that everyone who's ever read you or argued with you, I think, instantly picked up what a great guy you were and that you were the perfect guy to highlight those moments that maybe others missed as they were watching or being distracted by something else. So I'm going to tell you right now that Bay Area sports writing is going to take a big step backwards without you, Mark.
Well, you're making me blush. Look, I still got to August 6th to screw this up, and so don't say too many nice things about it. That, look, isn't everybody supposed to be nice to everybody? I mean, you know, it just seemed to me like I said, you know, when I was a kid and I see these grumpy old guys, I'd say, like, come on, we're here covering this event that's, you know, pretty damn cool. But I appreciate you saying that. I'm going to miss probably the members of the tribe, and you know what I mean. You know, the press box tribe is really,
yep,
some days is what keeps you going. Thanks.
Absolutely.
You're making me emotional. I have till August 6th to try to raise my batting average. I intend to do so. And the next four Sundays, I'll give a plug. I didn't want to make this a big deal. The paper decided to have me announce it early and so forth. And so next four Sundays, I'm writing a series about my five top interviews, my five top moments that I covered, some of the stuff we've been talking about right now, my five, the five best athletes I've seen and so forth. And so I hope if anybody's interested, it turns out I wrote a lot of stuff.
Yeah, you did.
I'm going back over it and just forgetting some of it, and now being reminded of it. I'm a very, very fortunate guy.
Hey, humility aside, Mark, you have a career that deserves the proper framing, and I'm glad that you get the opportunity to do it. Don't be so humble. Take your bow. You deserve it. Mark, thank you.
Well, you're welcome, and thank you. Anybody that spent 5 minutes of time reading my stuff on some day, and even if you didn't like it, I'm happy. I'm flattered you took the time to read it. So that's all I got. That's all a guy in my business can ask. So thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Take care of yourself. Looking forward to seeing you at least a couple more times between now and August. Mark Purdy is the best. Thank you so much, Mark.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
For a
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.